This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message, speaking of this end time falling away that God really warned us would take place in the last day. And we've been dealing with what the last day apostate teachers would be like, spoken of the apostles. And as God warned us through their words of this great falling away and described to us to the letter the kind of teachers we would expect men would heap unto themselves here at the end of the age and during this great falling away foretold by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Well, I want to go on today. I'm in the book of Jude, and we're looking into the character of these teachers. And as we finished up on Friday with verse 10, let us go on today to verse 11. That's Jude 11. Have your Bible there. Open up and follow along with me. And don't forget the exhortation that you've received, how you need to pray and seek God for revival in these last days with all of your heart. Pray. It will make a difference. He said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now, one might say here's three different types of men, three different spirits that we would really look at here from the Scriptures, three Old Testament characters who God uses as a type to show you and I what the last day teacher would really be like. Now, as we think about this, may we understand that each one of these three of themselves was terrible. But these last day apostate teachers, which will emerge on the horizon, who are really beginning to emerge in the world even today, who will bring in such an apostasy, is like all three of these put together in one. And here in Jude 11, Jude describes them as being like these three. My, any one of them is enough to make you wonder. Well, he said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." Now, we'll think about that, and today we'll just turn in the Word and begin to look at the life of Cain. And, well, let's explore from the Bible, and let's see what Cain was really like. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, we see this picture of Cain and Abel, two brothers, brought up in the same home, you know, brought up in the same environment, brought up with the same basic knowledge, both having the same parents. Well, a lot we could look at and say of them that surely they were brought up together. There should have been a lot about them that was alike, but they were uniquely different. Now, it says of Cain that he was a tiller of the ground. That was his basic occupation. He'd go out there with a hoe, and he dug up the ground, and, you know, to plant and harvest. That's what Cain was doing. And Abel took care of a flock of sheep. So he had that shepherd role about his life. Well, we could look at Abel like we might look at David out there in the hillside with his father's sheep. But it says this, and this is what's interesting, that in the process of time, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground and offered it unto God. Now, his brother went along and brought an offering of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof, and he brought an offering unto God. Now, you see, each one of them has something spiritual about them, in a sense. And each one of these brothers is in the position of saying, well, they know God. And they're in a position now where they have the knowledge of God. And both of them bring an offering and offer it unto God. So rightly we can see now, Cain is a type of something, and surely we want to look deeply into it, because here he is, he's making an offering unto God. Now, if we examine the offerings of the fruit of the ground. Now, when we think of an offering of the fruit of the ground, typically we could think of an offering of the works of our own hands, like a man trying to work his way to heaven under grace. I mean, his offering was bloodless. There was no sacrifice in it as far as the offering was concerned, whereas his brother bringing one of his lambs and offering a blood sacrifice unto God, and the fact that he offered the fat therewith shows us that he brought of the firstling of the flock and made an offering, a sacrificial offering unto God. Well, we'll look at the offering surely as God looked at the offering, and God accepted Abel and his offering. God put his seal of approval on Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, God did not approve at all. So the first lesson we'll learn about Cain is that the offering of his faith, the offering now of his sacrifice unto God, is not acceptable unto God. Now, it's a bloodless sacrifice. There is nothing here to atone for sin. There is nothing here in his offering. And so God didn't accept it. And so the scripture says of Cain in verse 5, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, I could picture Cain in my own mind getting mad, hot under the collar. Oh my, I mean, he wasn't accepted here in his offering, and he's pretty upset about it. He's pretty wroth about it. He's mad, in other words. Now, this would show us something of his character. Cain was a mere human. Cain was walking after his carnal, his old nature now, his fallen nature. He's not acting right. He's done something wrong, and surely he's showing now his sore displeasure with God because of it. So he's wroth, he's upset, and God, having accepted his brother's offering, just really put Cain now on the hot seat, and he doesn't know just what to do to respond. Well, now, we have to follow that on, because surely it goes a lot farther here in the Word. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now, we would look here at the patient dealing of God. Now, remember, the Lord is talking to him. Now, one thing we're going to have to look at here is that Cain knew the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He had a fellowship with the Lord. Now, I've been telling you right along about these last day apostate teachers who deny the Lord, who reject the Lord. And as the apostles made it clear to us that they would even deny the Lord that bought them. Now, they're like Cain. Now, Cain knew the Lord, and here's evidence. And the Lord said unto Cain, God doesn't talk to sinners. God's not out there dealing with sinners this way. No, God dealt with them. And God said, now, Cain, what are you upset about? Cain, what's troubling you? Why? And God asked, why? Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? Cain, what's wrong? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now here we kind of look at God's dealing, and right away God says, now Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted too. Now, Cain, you're being rejected because something is not right. Something is not right about your experience. Something is not right about your offering. And I want you to realize that something's not right. If you do well, you'll be accepted too. Well, right away, we can see the very patient dealing of God, can't we? Now, God didn't just reject Cain without some patient dealing and an attempt to win him over to doing right and win him over to the point to where Cain himself would want to continue to follow God. But God, in his patient dealing with Cain, warned him that sin was lying right at the door. Now, God could see in that Cain was wroth, and in that Cain's countenance fell, that this was going to lead him to sin. This was going to lead him to wrongdoing. This was going to lead him down an avenue that he should not go. Now, I want you to understand, God knows when a man is about to walk out the door and commit a crime. God knows when a man is about to raise up, you know, the gun and shoot somebody. God knows when all those things are there, surely. And he saw in Cain, now that this thing that was happening to him, surely Cain was wroth and upset, and God warned him that sin was going to move in on him and take control of him if he didn't really stop short here and do what was right and what would be expected of him. Now, Cain's obligation was to look and see what was acceptable unto God and to go and bring an acceptable offering unto God. This he refused to do. So the warning of God now is that sin's going to rule over you. Sin is going to take control of you. And Cain, you'll find yourself obeying sin and doing that which is surely contrary to the total purpose of God for your life. Well, time is up here. Father, quicken the word today and make it real and alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about this great last day falling away foretold in the Word of God. And as I have spoken to you several times about the vision God showed me of this subtle work of Satan as it's begun and it's beginning to take place in the world even today. Now, yesterday we had began to look into Cain as Jude spoke to us and said they've gone the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the heir of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Core. Well, giving us three examples of men that these last day apostate teachers will really be like. Now, he said they're gone the way of Cain. Well, today we'll go back to verse 7 in Genesis chapter 4 and we'll continue on and, well, we'll just see what else God has here to show us what these last day men would be like by looking at the example of Cain. Now, God said to Cain in verse 7, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Now, God had asked Cain, "What are you upset about? Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do what's right, you're going to be accepted too." Now, here God gives him an assurance that if he brings an acceptable offering unto God, that God will accept him. Now, this puts Cain on the spot. Now, Cain, you have this option. You brought an offering. It was not acceptable, but as a matter of teaching, as a matter of learning, if you'll throw that one away, if you'll cast that one aside and go and bring an acceptable offering, I will accept your offering too. Now, I look at that and say, well, surely this is one thing that God would speak to every one of us. He wants us to bring unto him an acceptable offering for sin. Well, one would say, well, how do I know what is acceptable? Well, Cain had just seen an example right before his eyes of an acceptable offering. Now, he knew what was acceptable. He knew that his brother Abel had brought of the firstling of the flock and offered it unto God, and it was acceptable. Now, he knew that. He saw that. That's why he's upset, because his brother's offering was accepted and his wasn't. Now, the real issue then that we can see here in Cain as an example of the last day apostate teachers is his refusal to bring an acceptable offering. Now, if you had to bring an offering this morning unto God for your soul, what would you bring? I mean, would you go out and bring of the fruit of the garden? Would you go to the flock and take a lamb? Well, let me tell you right out in plain, simple terms that you will never have to wonder again about. The only acceptable offering unto God today is the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, as an atonement for sin. Now, the blood of Jesus is the issue. The shedding of blood is the issue. Well, it's clear in the Word of God, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Christ laid down his life. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And that blood was not only shed here upon the earth, but the Scripture would teach us it was applied to the mercy seat in heaven. And there, that blood now covers the sins of all who put their personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And unless you come with this acceptable offering of God, God offering up his own Son in sacrifice for you, God allowing his own Son to give his life, to lay down his life, God accepting the shed blood of Christ as an atonement for our sins, may we know, if we don't come by faith and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and accept the blood of Christ for the remission of sins, I mean, we're like Cain. We'll be like Cain. We'll not make it. And surely Cain would not go back and change his offering. Now, Cain rejected the blood offering. Cain rejected that. He refused to bring of the firstling of the flock. Now, he just refused it. He wasn't about to go back and change what he had brought. Now, he knew he should. God told him to bring an acceptable offering, but he was upset to the point and to the place he wasn't going to do it. Now, this is the idea that God gives to you and I of last day apostate teachers. They will refuse the blood of Jesus. They've gone the way of Cain. They'll refuse the sacrifice of Christ for sin. Now, in their teaching, surely as Jesus related to me, and I have related it to you, how the Lord himself speaking to me, making it clear to me, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that falling away spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the Lord said that's a rejection of me. They fall away from me. They don't just fall away. They fall away from him and refuse to bring an acceptable offering unto God. Now, that's the earmarks of Cain. That's what we learn is to say the way of Cain, a refusal now to bring a blood offering, a refusal to bring an acceptable offering unto God. And we've got to look and say now, Jude warned us that these last day teachers would be like this, so we can learn this. Now, character is spelled out here in Cain. You look and study his character. There's a lot about him to understand. Well, first of all, God asks him, what you angry about? Why is your countenance fallen? Now, that should tell us a little something about him. When things don't go right, he gets mad. He gets upset. He goes carnal. He gets wroth inside. He gets carnally minded. Now, Paul, in writing to us in Romans 8, made it clear to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Abel was spiritually minded. Cain was carnally minded. It worked death in him. And surely following that old nature, angry, upset, wroth, yet in the midst of it all, God said, if you do well, you'll be accepted too. But you see, even knowing the truth doesn't mean we're going to do it. knowing the way doesn't mean that we're going to walk in it. And you and I better understand thoroughly in our own hearts that if we want to make it, we must come with an acceptable blood offering to God, and that only acceptable offering is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on Calvary's cross as the atonement for our sins. When you take communion, what is it that's really the essence? The broken body and the blood that was sacrificed for your sins. And Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Well, this is what he wants us to remember. His broken body, his shed blood, the atonement for our sin. The seal of the New Testament is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Cain refused to go back now. And so we've got to look into Cain's life and see, well, it's not the end of the matter. It says in verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother." Well, he talked to God and didn't get over it. He talked to God and didn't get it out of his system. He talked to God and decided in his heart he wasn't going to listen to God. So he goes out and he talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now here's what he's really like. You see, we're looking at his natural character. Now the Bible warns us that these last day of false teachers, apostate teachers, will be like natural brute beasts. Here's an example of a natural brute beast. A man now being very brutish in this, rising up out there in the field and killing his brother. Well, I mean, he's now really joined the ranks here. He's a murderer. God said, "Cain, you better get over this. Sin lies at the door." Well, he didn't listen. And he rose up and he killed his brother out there in the field. Now, a lot is to be said about his character then. Rising up out there in the field to kill his brother shows us now that he decided that the only approach to this thing was to remove that which tended to make him look bad in the eyes of God. Now, the scripture said these last day teachers will be despisers of those that are good. Now, we find that in Cain. He despised his brother because his brother was good. He's upset with his brother because his brother's good, because his brother's offering is good and acceptable to God and his is not. So he's angry at his brother without a cause. There's no cause for him to be angry. There's no cause whatsoever for him to be angry, but he is angry. Now, we've got to realize God said of these last day apostate teachers, this is the way they will go. Now, surely they're going to become despisers of those that are good. And we'll see an awful lot of that. And as the day approaches that we see the host of apostate teachers emerging upon the world in this last day, this is one mark we'll see in them. They will despise those that are good. Well, may God give us understanding. We'll pick this up tomorrow and we'll look a little farther into the life of Cain. Father, quicken this word. Make it real and alive in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message about this last day falling away, emerging here in the last day of hordes of last day teachers who will usher in an apostasy that will cause them and a multitude of others to deny the Lord. Well, today we're dealing with the words of the Apostle Jude as he warned us that these last day teachers would go the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, if we look at this and take that to heart, as we've been looking here for the past couple of days at Cain and his way, we want to go back today. Yesterday we saw how Cain rose up out there in the field and killed his brother. And today we want to go to verse 9 and see what the Lord's response to this first murder really was. Well, are you praying for revival? Are you seeking God for revival? That's the question of the hour. Look, we better pray. Now, it's better to pray now than to wait until you see this flood tide that I've been telling you would come upon the earth and then not know what to do. If you'll pray now, you won't need to worry about it later. You'll be prepared to face whatever comes. Let's pray for revival. Well, looking now in verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, right away now, we've got to look into the life of Cain and see here now there's certain things that we can identify Cain with, and we can also look and see that this is what God in His Word identified these last day apostate teachers with. Now Cain says, "Well, am I my brother's keeper?" Now surely he had something missing. Now Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy chapter 3 warned us of what men would be like in the last day, and he said they would be despisers of those that are good. Well, we find now that Cain is a despiser of those that are good, namely his own brother. It said they would be without natural affection. Here again we see that Cain was without natural affection. Now it would have been natural for Cain to have loved Abel his brother, to have been agreeable with Abel his brother, and to have even thanked God to say that Abel, his brother's offering, was acceptable. But you see, he was a despiser of those that are good. Now, he also is a murderer. My, I mean, how far will a man go? Well, don't get in my way. Natural brute beasts. Paul said they'd be fierce. Well, how much more fierce could you be than Cain? Got his brother out here in the field and took a rock or something and beat his brains out. I mean, isn't that fierce? Now, it said he's also, these last day teachers would be liars. I mean, the truth would not be in them. They would not love the truth. They'll be peddling a message which is a lie, far from the truth, far from the sacrifice of Christ, denying the Lord that bought them. Now, when we think of all of that, I think we have to consider that surely the devil's behind all of this. And the devil is one, you know, to mold character in people and try to make men to respond to his own liking. Jesus, in John 8:44, addressed the Pharisees, and his words were pretty strong against them. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." Now, Jesus primarily is talking about the devil, isn't he? "You are of your father the devil." Well, we could look at Cain, and we could apply this to Cain. Surely Cain was now seemingly fulfilling all that Jesus had said here. A murderer, yes. Abode not in the truth, yes. We could look at him and say, surely now, when he speaks a lie. Well, where is your brother? Well, am I my brother's keeper? Evasive? Unwilling to face up to the real issue that was asked him? Well, surely now we can see that Cain the murderer, he isn't going to own up to it. And there's one thing about sin. When you start down that road, you always need one more to cover up the last one. And when you start lying, you'll have to tell another lie to cover up the last one you told. And so we see that the character of Cain really comes out here now. And so he's evasive with God. And remember, God told him if he'd do well, he'd be accepted. And that sin was at the door. Now, God knew, and God forewarned him of what he would be entering into, that he was going to really plunder into sin if he didn't go back and bring that acceptable offering unto God. Well, we see now, surely Cain isn't going back. Cain isn't going to do what he should do. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Cain, what have you done? Now, God's still dealing with Cain. Cain, why don't you stop and confess now what you've done? Now, man's nature, being what it is, he tries to hide his sin. He tries to cover his sin up, tries to just really, you know, refuse to admit, you know, his sinful condition. Well, we realize now we see it in Cain. But Cain, a type of last-day teachers? My, someone said, that's hard to believe, Brother Dave. Well, take the words of Jude the Apostle. He's the one who told us what they'd be like. And that's Scripture, and all Scripture's given by inspiration of God. And God forewarns us these last-day teachers would be like this. They've gone the way of Cain. They may not do everything that Cain did, but they've gone his way. His way was to refuse to bring an acceptable offering unto God for sin. That's the way of Cain, refusal. And Cain was rejected, surely because of his refusal. Now, something more we've got to look into then. The blood cried out to God from the ground. Now, the Scripture said, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, and his blood crying out, surely a sign unto us of life after death. The very first time we see a picture now that life would go on after death. His blood crying out. So there's the voice of Abel crying out to God. And God bringing Cain now on the spot here for what he had done, and making it clear to him that, look, you can't hide your sin. There's no way you can get around it. I mean, Cain, you've sinned. And Cain would not come forth to really confess he had done wrong and to really repent. Well, God begins to deal now with judgment. And God warns us about these false teachers at the end of the age who will bring swift destruction upon their own heads. It won't last long. It'll be a real move for a while, but it won't last long because their works are such that God will bring swift destruction. In Cain's case, God began to move now to bring judgment. And so it says in verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand." Now you are cursed from the earth. Well, I suppose one might look at that and say, now that's a far-reaching thing. You're cursed from the earth. Well, may you know and may you understand that even today. We have no descendants of Cain upon the earth. There's nobody out there listening to me today that could look back and follow your family tree back to Cain. No. Cain, all of his seed perished in the great flood. Well, surely they're cursed from the earth. And we look at Cain and see that swift judgment was carried out as far as he's concerned, in that God began to deal immediately. "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Well, I look at all of that and I say, well, surely Cain now is being severely punished for what he's done. And we look at his punishment. Cursed from the earth, yet as long as he remained upon the earth, the ground was going to be cursed. it wasn't going to yield fruit easily for him. Going to really have to get out there with the sweat of his brow and on the end of the hoe handle, and he's going to work hard, and the ground just wasn't going to do what it did before for him. And so we look at that surely as a curse, but God speaking to him even in a greater sense, and a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. A fugitive. What is a fugitive? Well, a fugitive is a man running from justice. Well, as soon as the law catches up with him, going to throw him in jail. And Cain is a fugitive running now from divine judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And all men will be caught, and all men will be brought to judgment, and none will escape the judgment of God. And while Cain is in the earth, he'll just simply be, as a sinner, a fugitive from justice, a vagabond, no certain dwelling place, always on the run, always on the move. Well, we'll look into this a little bit further tomorrow. Father, quicken these words and bless them and make them real in our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to exhort you again to really pray with me and pray with those who have a concern in this last day, who are praying for revival that will sweep the land and will really affect the body of Christ throughout the earth. We need to pray. Now let us know and let us understand that God is forewarning us of the emerging host of last-day apostate teachers that will emerge upon us. It's coming. It's being foretold to you right here on this program. God is warning you of this awful, subtle work of Satan. Satan rises up a host of men in this last day that will usher in an apostasy, create such a falling away among God's people until the lukewarmness becomes so much that the Lord will spit it right out of his mouth. Well, today, let's pray for revival. Let's get serious. You better be serious in this day. Well, I've been telling you what these last day teachers would be like, and I have made up nothing. I've only quoted the scriptures to you and ministered to you out of the word that which God had spoken. Now, Jude the apostle said these last day teachers would go the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, all right. We're going back to Cain today again, and we're looking at Cain, the way of Cain, what happened to Cain, because what happened to Cain surely is an example of these men. Okay, go back with me now to verse 13 in Genesis chapter 4. Well, it said, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now, I want you to understand that the apostles all warned us that these last day teachers would bring upon themselves swift destruction. Their work won't last long. It'll be very devastating to the body of Christ. It will cause the multitude to fall away, but yet the judgment won't linger long. And when it falls, it's going to fall heavy, and it's going to fall hard upon them and upon the followers of them. Well, here we see Cain. God brought swift judgment upon Cain, too. But Cain cries out to God now, and he complains. And he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Well, Cain, what do you expect? I mean, Cain, look what you've done. Cain, look at what the last few days have been like in your life. Cain, see an example of your works, and then you'll understand why the punishment is greater than you can bear. Cain, remember, you had an opportunity. Remember, I told you if you'd do right, you'd be accepted, and if you didn't, sin was right at the door. Remember, Cain, I warned you. You see, God was patient with Cain. God dealt with Cain. God tried to correct him and show him the right way. But Cain is an example of those who are strong-headed. Now, Paul warns us these men are heady, high-minded, and they got a mind of their own. Nobody's going to change it. And this is what we can say of Cain. He was heady. Down inside, he knew, oh yes, he refused to change his mind, his thoughts. He refused to change from that which he thought in his natural mind, and surely couldn't think a bit spiritual. Well, Cain is crying out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. God said, bring an acceptable offering. And no, he would not. Rather, remember, he was a despiser of his brother, a despiser of him that was good. And instead of doing likewise and bringing an acceptable offering, he turned to fight him who had brought an acceptable offering. Now there's going to be a division arise over an offering in this last day. And those who will stand with Jesus, who will stand for the truth, who will continue to believe in the sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin, who will continue to believe and patiently wait for the coming of Christ, are certainly going to be despised of these last-day apostate teachers who will rise up, and in their way they'll be like Cain. They'll be ready to murder you for standing and believing in the blood of Jesus. And so we can see the picture now of that despising. Wouldn't bring an acceptable offering, but would greatly fight against those who do. Now, I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, to live godly in this last day in Christ Jesus is going to cause us to suffer persecution. We're going to be persecuted for living for Jesus. Now, you mark my words. I'm telling you the truth. We'll be greatly persecuted who will not follow along with this last day modernistic Cain-like crowd of preachers and teachers emerging in the last day who will lead men astray in the most subtle move that there's ever been, bringing such a deception, such a denying of Jesus, such a rejection of Jesus in their teaching. Now, it's coming, and you're forewarned of it. This move is emerging in the world today. It's on the make. Remember, I told you it was 3 years ago God gave me a vision to show me this subtle work was beginning. It's 3 years in the making today. Well, maybe you haven't seen it yet. Maybe nothing there yet you've got to compare it to. But when it comes, and when it comes where you'll begin to see it, surely you'll note it. You won't have any hard time discerning it, because it's going to be against Jesus. It's going to be against his blood sacrifice. It's going to be against his atonement. My, you and I best realize in our heart how important it is to stand. Now, Cain's crying out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely, when we go down the way of Cain, it's going to bring to us judgment. When we'll give ourselves over to following this last day crowd, it's going to bring us judgment that in the end will make us to cry out and say, my God, and the punishment will be greater. I want you to note that up even at this point in Cain's life, God is still talking to him, reasoning with him, and pronouncing this judgment upon him. Yet he agrees the punishment is severe, but he makes no effort to repent. Wouldn't you think in your mind that Cain would have said, hey, I've done wrong. I better straighten up. I better do what God told me. I better seek God's forgiveness. But you see, he didn't. And this is the way of Cain. Now, everything you notice about him follows true to this pattern. It is the way of Cain. We've got to discern then that they'll go the way of Cain. Now, if we'll get that into our heart and mind, that this is a type then of the last day preacher denying the sacrifice of Christ, denying the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, denying the Lord in their teaching and in their way, rejecting the Savior by their very words. Oh, today, you and I better get a hold of this. We better listen carefully. And one thing you're going to have to say, God warned me. God didn't wait until it came and then told us about it. God is telling us about it before we even really hardly get to see it. God is warning us in advance so that we won't walk into this sinking sand hole. You know, life can be just like that. This way of Cain is like a sinking sand hole. I think I told you before on the broadcast of how my father, when I was a child, used to warn us about the sinking sand hole that was down along an old country dirt road that we used to go down when we'd go fishing. And it was only just a, you know, maybe 30 or 40 feet off the road. And we had to really, you know, listen to our dad, because after all, he gave us such a strong warning. He said, now don't you ever get in there. Don't ever try to walk across it. Stay right away from it. Don't get near it. Because if you get in it, you can't get out of it. It'll suck you right under. Well, we used to get big rocks, and we'd throw them and watch them hit into that old swale hole, and boy, right down they'd go. And they'd sink right into the mire. Well, it was a sinking sand hole. And there was no bottom there. You couldn't find any bottom. And if you shoved a long pole down in it, it just went right on down. It was just nothing but quagmire. And my dad told us the story of men working in the woods there that had gotten a team of horses into it, and the horses went right down out of sight. Well, all of that scared us. We were afraid because of those words. Well, I want you to understand that you're being warned of God that this kind of teaching that will emerge here in the last day will be like that to you. You get in it, and you won't be able to get out. It's like the vision of that innocent-looking seashore and that water that was so innocent that when I looked out there at it, it just made you want to walk right in. It just looked so pleasant. It was so peaceful-looking, so calm. And yet, that subtle undertow was so great that when you walked into it, it would suck you right under. Well, you see, God gave me that vision to warn you, to warn those that would listen of this coming time of falling away, this coming time of rejection of the Lord, of apostasy here in the last days, this falling away foretold of Paul and of the apostles, and warning after warning after warning was given to us of this period of time. And it's up to you and I to take it seriously. We don't want to be crying out when all is said and done, God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I don't want to wind up in hell and destruction for turning away from and turning against the Lord by giving ear to false teachers in this last day. Surely you and I better give full attention to this. I tell you, if there ever was a time in your experience that you should pray about what Brother Daly's telling you. You should pray about it, and you should pray for revival. Father, I want you to quicken the word today, making it very real and very alive in our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message of this last day falling away, this great apostasy predicted in the Word of God, prophesied to come at the end of the age. Well, we've been dealing with the words of the Apostle Jude warning us that these emerging last day teachers, what they would be like. And surely Jude described them in saying they've gone the way of Cain. They've ran greedily after the error of Balaam, and they've perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Well, we've been examining this week what it means to go the way of Cain. And certainly we've looked to see that Cain refused to bring an acceptable offering unto God, even when he knew what an acceptable offering was. But we can see Cain, a denier of the blood sacrifice, a denier of the atoning power of the blood, one who thought that mere works, mere human effort, was enough to make you right with God. Yet we see the patient dealing with God, or dealing of God in his life, trying to turn him around and turn him from the error of his way. But remember, Cain refused. Wroth, mad, upset, killed his brother, despising him that was good, demonstrated how fierce he could be, demonstrated he was without natural affection, demonstrated now as a despiser of those that are good that murder was the way, then lie about it. Well, we see all of these things in Cain, and they're the very earmarks that we'd find clearly defined by the apostles and attributed to last day apostate teachers that would usher in this great falling away. Well, we've been dealing yesterday, and we're going to go back to verse 13 today, Cain crying out to God, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Now, I want you to think about punishment, and I want you to remember what God speaks of punishment. God said these last day teachers would usher in upon themselves swift judgment. Now, a careful study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 clearly defines the judgment that will come as a result of these last day teachers. It will usher in the great tribulation. It will open the door for Antichrist to arise and set himself up in the temple as God, and the whole world turning to worship him. It will cause God, as he spoke in the Word, to send strong delusions upon them, that they might believe a lie and be damned who loved not the truth. Because they loved not the truth, because they had their pleasures in unrighteousness, God would send them strong delusion. It ushers in the great tribulation. That's what we've got to expect will be the end product of this emerging host of Christ-denying last-day teachers that are about to emerge on the scene in the world. That's what the end of their works will really be. Yet the multitude's going to flock to them, love them, eat them up. And this smooth, easy way that will come will surely attract a multitude. Remember the Lord saying to us, that water looks innocent. It just looks like the move you're going to want to get into. And it's going to be subtle, a very subtle, treacherous work of Satan, that once you get in it, you can't get out of it. And the great reason why is because once you reject Jesus and deny his blood, there's no more atonement for you for sin. You've fulfilled the scriptures then in Hebrews chapter 6, wherein, having tasted the good gift of God, having received, you know, of that mercy and that forgiveness, tasting of those heavenly things, if we fall away, to renew ourselves to repentance would be to crucify Christ afresh. No, it won't work that way. Well, Cain cried out, "My judgment is greater than I can bear." And so we look at Cain then, and he then goes on in verse 14 to say, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth." Well, that's not bad enough. "And from thy face shall I be hid." Now, Cain's eyes are opened that he's lost out with God. Now, remember, God talked with him. God dealt with him. God reasoned with him. And now he realizes that God is chasing him out. A vagabond he would be, a wanderer in the earth. And Cain's eyes are open now that this means I'm going to be scattered out now. I'm going to be on the run, and I'm going to be hid from the face of God. Stop, think about it. Would you want to be separated from Jesus for a moment? Would you want to have that feeling that you could never get back to God again? That you never could get right with God? Driven out from the face of God that day? Cain says, "I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth." Cain realizes now what God's saying. It's illuminating in his heart that he's done wrong and the punishment is great, and there's still no remorse. There's still no asking God for forgiveness. There's still no believing now that somehow if he'd repent and go back and bring an acceptable offering. You see, Cain never does go back. He never does bring an acceptable offering. He never does change. Well, in apostasy, once we go apostate, there's no remedy. There is no way out. When you deny Jesus, there's no way out. If you turn away from Jesus following last day teachers, there's no way back. You won't get back to Jesus. You never will get back to Jesus. Look, you know the Lord today. Stay with Jesus. Stay with His shed blood. Continue to walk by faith, believing in what Christ did for you. Don't take up with a host that's coming on the scene in this last day. Come on, let's stay with Jesus. Remember His words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Surely we must realize it's with Jesus, it's in Jesus, it's through Jesus. And you and I must patiently wait unto the glorious coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We must look to and long for that day when He'll come like He promised. We must long for that time. And surely as we put our faith in Jesus today, hey, that's what it's going to take to make it through the apostasy of the last days. Now I'm preaching to you something that's in the making. It's just beginning to emerge. And God is forewarning us of this. And surely today, as the messenger of God, I'm conveying these things to you that you might take heed. Now, don't be like Cain. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at someone else who would tell you about it. Just really look. Now, let's really be like the Bereans. Let's search the Scripture to see if those things be so. Now, what I've preached to you, as well as preaching a revelation to you that the Holy Spirit has given me, preaching a vision to you that the Holy Spirit has given me, I've preached to you the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. It's what God has said would come to pass. And I'm not exaggerating a bit on it. He said these last day teachers would go the way of Cain. Now we've studied this out. See where Cain went. Well, here we find him now complaining to God. His punishment's too much. Finding out now he's going to be separated from the face of God. And if you and I follow them, we'll be complaining of the same complaint. And so Cain now worries that because of what he's done, it's going to make him a marked man. And I'll tell you, these last day preachers will become marked men. And could you imagine what it'll be like when the Lord comes and takes His own out of the world and these are left? My lands, what would you do to your preacher if you found out the day after the rapture you were still here and so was he and the rest of the congregation? You'd feel like going down there and blowing his head off, wouldn't you? Why, my lands, you'd say that deceiver deceived me. My lands, he wouldn't tell us the truth. You'd sure be upset. Think about these. They'll be marked men too. And my, the multitude that they lead astray will, I suppose, be there that day wanting to lynch every one of them. But being separated, and I can't think of anything any worse in feeling than being separated from the face of God and becoming a wonder. And then saying that everybody that sees me will want to kill me because of the judgment that I have brought. Oh, my. There old Cain now, being a marked man, the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Well, we would think about a mark being set upon him. Surely a marked man, everybody wanting to kill him. And the only thing that then would tend to prevent them would be the fear of that sevenfold judgment and vengeance coming back upon them after they did it. Well, today, we've learned something, haven't we, from the way of Cain? That way without a sacrifice, that despising the right way of the Lord, that despising those that are good, winding up a murderer, a liar, a fierce person like he really was, without natural affection. Well, we see all those earmarks in Cain, And Cain is an example of the way these last day false teachers will be. Father, quicken this word into our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen.